lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic, a podcast.
Jimmy boy.
We're back.
We're back, Tom. What are we wearing?
We've got a bit of a special ep today. We're going bloody Project Yamaha, yep. James. So we've done a make Honda great again, yep. And it's Yamaha's turn. And Yamaha is in the news at the moment in a big way. So we couldn't think of a better time to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Project Yamaha, the slogan, yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can get Yamaha back to the glory days, can't we? We've got a 10-point plan for everyone. We've got a 10-point plan on how we're going to bring Yamaha back. There's some mostly funny points in there. Not too serious, this one. So
yes, funny, but it definitely comes from a serious side. And if you guys actually listen to our Make Honda Great Again ep we did, like, I don't know, was it 18 months ago maybe?
Yeah.
I reckon 7 out of those 10 actually came to town. 100%. And that's why they're back on in the top.
It tested. It session one testing
Sepang. In top speed. In top speed down the back straight at Sepang, yeah. They are back up top.
Yeah, so we've got a bit of a plan for Yamaha. We've definitely got the... And they are a bit funny, but yeah, you're right. Like, there's definitely truth to it.
Definitely truth. You know how we roll. There's always going to be a funny side to it, but there's some serious serious text in there. So yeah, we were looking forward to running through that. We obviously want to thank our major sponsor, Motor Heaven, as always.
Motorheaven.com.au. Check them out. They've got heaps of promos going on. Best website in the business.
Yeah, and like, subscribe on YouTube, please. Guys, Patreon's getting big, so I really appreciate everyone following us on that. So give that a crack. We've got some extra chats on there, as always. And a little shout out to the guys at ontrackexperiences.com. They are doing a hospitality done differently for the MotoGP this year. So register interest on their website, ontrackexperiences.com. If you're interested in going to any race for the 2026 MotoGP season, because they've got the hot pass with MLAV Racing. So get involved with that. James, let's talk. Before we get into the big stuff, the Yes We Can Yamaha, let's talk MotoGP 26, because there's been lots of things happening in the last week.
Bro, how crazy has it been? Because we're talking 2026 and we've got testing under the way and we're all kind of talking about 2027 already.
We are. We have to try and pull ourselves back to the 26, what's going to happen this year, but there is just rumors flying everywhere.
It's kind of crazy. Like, we've put so much stuff up on our socials. I'm like, all we're talking about is 2027, but it's what's happening.
But did you see MotoGP upload on Instagram last night? They already put their which riders are going to be signed for 27. Like, everybody's thinking 27.
Yep. There's only two signed. There's Marco Bezzecchi signed and I think Zarco.
Correct.
They're the only ones that have got a signature, pen to paper.
Season. And we were told it's going to start early and it has. Quartararo signing of Honda seems to be done, but by the looks of things, he just can't say a lot in the media.
He can't say, like, he keeps getting questioned in the media, which is really funny. And he's like, I can't say too much. Yeah. But he's got a smirk. He's liking all of Honda's posts, which is very suspicious. but
James has this theory about social media, and it's actually maybe come to fruition with
Jorge Martin
liking all of Yamaha's things a few weeks ago. I said, James, get off the high horse, mate. It's just him. And then that's the rumor mill.
Yeah, I called you up Wednesday last week, and I saw him like all the Monster Energy Yamaha stuff. You got to understand.
He was shocked.
I was, because he's a Red Bull athlete. He's on an Aprilia. He's liking Monster Energy Yamaha. I'm like, this is strange. This is weird as. And then you're like, nah, it's nothing. And I was like, whatever. Well, I'll just leave it. And then it was like 3 days later, bang. Rumors, he's signing for Yamaha.
He's become like... Jorge Martin is going to be remembered as like the MotoGP town slut at this point.
What do you make of this situation? We haven't really spoken about it. We had a big weekend, but... What have you made about this Jorge Martin situation?
Martin, nothing surprises me with that guy. I'm trying to get back on his bandwagon. And no wonder, man, they're just jumping behind Bezzecchi, because this guy's head's just everywhere. Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, and rumors have to come from somewhere. Mm. They're not made up. And, you know, if it wasn't true, he would have already come out and said it's not true. So, we know it's most likely going to happen. But, yeah, I don't know. As I said, it's like... Dude, he's just gone. He's like jumped. His managers has gone everywhere to try to find the best deal. I mean, well, does he want to win a championship or not?
I don't know what's going on, because
another championship, I should say.
Because I've been on the train that Jorge Martin does not want to be at Aprilia, And again, it's Sepang test.
I haven't.
Yeah. And it's Sepang test. A bit of PTSD from last year.
Yeah.
But and then it's all these rumors are already coming out that he's signed for Yamaha, whatever it is, Domino Effect, Quartararo going to Honda. But like people, we spoke to Jack Appleyard and everything about the relationship between Jorge Martin and Aprilia, and I just don't think it's going to be that great. Like you've got Yamaha now in the news with him linked, and then if you draw parallels to Quartararo and Yamaha, like they've done their dash together,
yeah.
They've won a title, they've done their dash. Quartararo has been very open and honest in the public for the past couple of years now, saying if this bike isn't it, then I'm jumping ship. And he hasn't deviated from that. And the bike obviously isn't going to be it. Like, we know that. Mm. And Honda's throwing him 15 million euros, whatever it is. They're going into new regs, which is awesome. And it's a gamble on wherever you go. It's a very hard time to change teams. And hey, maybe it will work for Jorge Martin as well. But I just think it's not like, Aprilia might not want to re-sign him anyway. So maybe he's already been told that.
It's exciting times for... We've got to look at this as glass half full situation. Like for Yamaha, they could have a team next year that's going to have Martin and Toprak in it. I mean, what a superstar lineup when you think of it like that. And then you've got Honda where arguably Diego Mera has an amazing year. They could have Quartararo and Marera in there.
Yeah.
I mean, how dreamy is that for both the Japanese outfits? I mean, you have to look at it like that. Wow. This actually will be a really good thing for MotoGP going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And I love seeing riders change. And it's just going to be so intriguing on what these manufacturers produce with the new regs. Mm. Because Honda can... like. Everyone's talking Honda in 2027 like it's going to be the best bike, and it may be or it may not be. Like we don't know. No one knows. And imagine if Paul Quartararo goes onto this Honda and it's just a dog poo. I don't think it is though. Aleix Espargaró came out after the shakedown test and said this Honda is the best MotoGP bike I've ever ridden.
Mm.
Now that's a bold, bold statement. And he's ridden, as everyone knows, like the Aprilia, won races on the Aprilia and has to be one of the best bikes made. Like, that's a crazy thing to say, Tom.
The other fascinating thing in this is obviously Honda's going out to the market with a checkbook wanting to sign riders. Mm. And I'm sure Martin wants to go there as well. But obviously they've picked Quartararo over him.
Well, who would you pick?
I'd pick Quartararo.
Yeah.
It's just too... Martin's got the talent, but it's just too unstable.
I feel like you've changed your tune on Martin a little bit after this.
Well, look, the guy's got talent. We know that. Mm. One lap pace. He's an amazing rider. But you just can't have this unstableness in the team. Mm. And his antics over the last 2 years is just going to sour a lot of people in different teams.
He's probably just going to get a fat paycheck from Yamaha. Where do you think Pecco Bagnaia is going to end up? If it's the domino effect of Acosta going to factory Lenovo Ducati with Mark.
Dude, it's VR46. It's like the writing's on the wall.
You don't think Aprilia? You've spoken Yamaha as well.
Yeah, for me, but it's just going to be a La Familia scenario, as we always say. It's he'll just be going on to that. Probably a factory Ducati with a VR46 team. I mean... at the end of the day, that's the only really, I don't know.
It's not the only option.
No, it's not the only option. That's why I hesitated. But I'm thinking, I mean, you've got to have a Moto2 guy come through on that Aprilia, don't you? Don't you have a, Manu Gonzalez?
There was, yeah, 100%. Mm. There's talent that has to come through.
Yeah.
And there's also been those rumors that have quietened down that VR46 would move to Aprilia for full factory backing. Mm.
Rossi came out and said we'll most likely be staying with Ducati.
Okay.
He got interviewed and said that. So that looks like that rumor will squash for the next couple of years at least. So yeah, again, for me, it's that could be another reason why Bagnaia stays with that out or stays in the Ducati camp.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we see it as going backwards. Don't get me wrong. We see that as going backwards.
For Pecco.
For Pecco, yeah. 100% we do. But in saying that, I mean, he's going to have still a fast bike. He's going to have a comfortable team around him. So, and I'm guessing Rossi will want him there as well.
I guess one other aspect though is he goes to Aprilia. It's an Italian team. He's got his mate Bez.
Yeah.
Like that's a good lineup.
Oh, it's a great lineup.
That's a really good
one. If he marries the bike, we'll get onto that with Bez later. But if he, you know, the thing is, this guy, finical with the bike. I mean, he's fast in testing, which, you know, was probably not a surprise to us. But, you know, things have to be right.
Yeah.
It's such a big risk for him to go to a whole new manufacturer because the bike might never be right, where he seems like he's going to be a bit more comfortable this year on this Duke.
Yeah, well, bro, who knows?
And it's all he knows. He's only ridden a Ducati his whole career.
That's true. It's going to be... I'm so excited for it. And this is rumors, bro. The rumors are just being crazy. I feel like every time we wake up or it's in the middle of the night, something happens. There's always a bombshell that hits.
Yeah, and the other thing is, James, you got to remember, Rossi came out in that same interview a couple of weeks ago and said, we'll probably most likely have two new riders for next year.
Yep.
Where else do you go? Where else are you thinking? Because...
I know, that's such a shuffle of riders. Like, where does Franco go? Where does Digia go?
Digia on Aprilia.
Yeah, but like, the Aprilia is such a good bike now. Is he a full factory rider? I don't know if he is.
Aprilia should be able to pick and choose, not the other way around.
Yeah, exactly right.
And then that's the other thing. Do you put a rookie on that factory bike? Probably not. You put him in a track house or something along the lines of that.
Mm.
But track house are also rumouring to leave Aprilia. So it's all happening here.
I know.
And we'll keep it here. We'll keep you up close to all the action throughout the year. But it is going to be a silly of silly seasons, which I'm super excited about. And the racing is going to be amazing. I mean, we haven't even talked about that. Like... we haven't even talked about how exciting, you know, Toprak on the Yamaha and Marrera on the Honda, and can Bagnaia come back? Marquez, is he going to win again? There's so many stories to be written this year.
Alex Marquez again. Can he back it up?
I always forget to talk about him, James.
I know. Bezzecchi on the Aprilia. What can he do? What can Jorge Martin do? Like, is the Yamaha going to prove, as you said? And then talking about, there's still more rumors coming out, and Alex Marquez has addressed them. Of going to full factory KTM, taking Pedro Acosta's seat, or Brad Binder's seat, maybe, which he says, like, you know, he's not scared of, in layman's terms, he's not scared of making the move, I guess.
Anything's possible.
Going to a full factory outfit is, you know, I get leaving Ducati is a crazy thing to do, but... he's on a Gresini Ducati. Now he's on a factory bike this year, so this is his chance. But, you know, to get that factory paycheck from Red Bull KTM is pretty good as well. And, like, again, what a way to turn around as a career.
Yes, it's still a massive risk with KTM, though.
Who knows the future of that.
But by the sounds of things, he was probably hoping for that factory ride against, you know, with his brother. But that seems to be taken by the... Acosta.
What do you think of Acosta and Mark potentially being teammates?
Amazing, man. It's going to be incredible.
But do you think it's like just a clash of two personalities? You know, we always talk about two alphas in a team and how it kind of doesn't work.
Yeah, true. But I don't... I think they'll get along. That won't be as, you know... nothing... The rivalry is never near where it was between like a Rossi and a Lorenzo.
Not yet.
But it won't be though. Like, this is not like that these days, James. Everyone's snowflakes. You know this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just... you lose too many sponsors and all that sort of thing, you know.
Bro, you're so right. But I think if there's anyone in the paddock that's going to be... like two hard-nosed rivals, it's those two. Because Mark's not going to give an inch and Pedro Acosta's is the same. Like, it's, and then being in an inter-team sanctum, I think just heats it up even more. Like, that's what I would love to see. And I think that's what the sport really needs. You got the young calf and the old bull, two Spanish hotheads.
It's like, I don't know, you know, we always think that Liberty Media or don't want to have control over who goes where. It's like the ultimate for them. It's like they've just put those puzzles together and gone, we'll support this. We'll support this, you know? That's my Spanish accent.
As they put Pecco Bagnaia out the back door. VR46 Ducati. Not exciting enough.
Well, he's not, is he?
No, not at the moment. Unless he comes back and starts winning races. Who knows?
But he doesn't win exciting. That's his problem.
I know.
But we can't be, it can't be like that.
We can't be talking again,
Lorenzo,
like that.
Lorenzo was boring back in the day with racing. I mean, off the track, he was, you know, it was an amazing rivalry and stuff. But
he's back in the headlines so much, Jorge Lorenzo now.
Well, he's come out and said today that Quartararo going to Honda is like Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari, as big as that. You know,
I'm surprised he didn't say that about himself.
It's like when I signed for Yamaha. It's true. But yeah, it's big. It's big for the sport. and it's exciting. Because Quartararo deserves a race-winning bike, man. Like, he's got so much talent, so...
Yeah, exactly right. And I really hope... Like, I think Honda's well on its way. If Aleix Espargaró... Like, Aleix Espargaró is a person that would add mayo onto things.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
But I think that Honda is well on its way to becoming very competitive this year.
Yeah.
But 2027.
Dude, you know what is going to be... You know what's going to be the hard luck story for 2027? Will be... It'll come to the end of the year. Honda will have a pretty good year. They're looking really good for 27. And Mir and Marini might be without a seat.
Bro, I know. It's going to be... It goes down to their results, really. If they want to keep their ride, they're going to have to be top six in the championship.
They're either fighting for their ride against each other.
Yeah.
So, it's realistically, there's one spot available.
100%.
And then if Moreira starts beating them, it's a no-brainer. You have to put the young kid in there.
Yeah.
So, for them, it's a huge amount of pressure.
Tom, motorheaven.com.au. I want to know your 10 favorite things about Motor Heaven.
Oh, Jimmy, that's just too easy, mate. I'm on their website now. They have the largest range of motorcycle products online in Australia. The user experience just shits over anything else on the net. You get a free visor cleaner with any helmet purchase over $200. Motor Heaven next tube with any jacket purchase over $200.
God damn.
Forget that Qantas points garbage. It's all about the loyalty program at Motor Heaven. Motorcycle part finder, local customer support, quick dispatch, as we know, James. Yeah. Unreal Google reviews, 100,000 customers they've had over the years. Proudly Aussie owned and operated by the world famous Adrian Letty. Get down to Motor Heaven and or go on their website, motorheaven.com.au.
Motorheaven.com.au. OGs of the pod. We love them. Check out motorheaven.com.au now.
You know, you're gonna have two spots available in the LCR team now with the token Asian disappearing. So, I mean, that's a spot for them, but, you know, they're factory riders. They've been factory riders for a long time. So.
And they're going to have the checkbook. I've obviously got the checkbook for Quartararo, but they can bring, they can bring anyone they want in, really.
But I've been all for this. Honda needed a superstar. They need a top three rider in their team if they want to win a championship. Yep. So, and they're doing that.
Yep.
So, again, they listened to our 10-point plan, which we're about to commence for Yamaha.
Yeah. Well, and Quartararo is one. I still think he's the second best rider on that grid. So, enough about Honda. It is all about Project Yamaha, Tom. Yes, we can.
Yes.
That's our slogan for Yamaha. And look, we've done this of Make Honda Great Again. It's actually the original episode of Make Honda Great Again on our Patreon if anyone wants to re-listen to that. It's an old episode. We will be doing a follow-up on that one as well in the future, going back over our old 10 points. But we are doing the same thing for Yamaha. And we want to... I would like Tom and I to take credit for what Honda's done.
Yeah.
Because they've actually listened to a lot of our crazy points.
I did.
And we're doing the same with Yamaha. We don't want to see them down in the doldrums. It looks like they're losing Quartararo. They've been slow. They've got great riders right now in like Toprak that's coming through. He's got a couple of years. But they need gun riders and they need development. And there's a whole lot of things that they should be doing that I don't think they have been for a long time. We're not going to get too technical into it, but...
Well, you just got to look at the last five races of the season, and we've got short memories here in Motorsport Republic, as you all know. But they were down in the Dolphins.
They were
the last four bikes on the grid for the last five races, consistently, probably except for Philip Bollam, and Bagnaia was out the back. But for me, James, take it away. What is our number one point for make Project Yamaha?
Yes, we can. The first point... no need to be racist, but we're going to remove the Japanese.
Take them away altogether.
Yeah, it needs to be a predominantly Euro team. They're slowly doing that. And in that, we should be basing a headquarters in Europe.
Makes sense. Well, let's be honest. Let's compare it to Honda.
Yeah.
When we're watching Honda, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, completely Japanese team, then in the last year or so... Half European.
At least. Especially once Marquez left, you're right. They've really changed their tact and brought... They've taken European engineers from Suzuki and Ducati. And it's exactly what they need to do. They need to do that. And how the Japanese and the Japanese manufacturers have lost this battle against the Europeans is they're just too slow in development. It's just, I guess...
Too conservative.
Yeah.
Too conservative. I mean, and you say this on the pod all the time. Ducati is there with a 3D printer at every race, trying new parts, That Yamaha looks the same bike for the past 5 years. They're only starting to put these new fairings on, new aero bits on. They should have been on the bike 2 years ago.
It's like the V4 engine. Like, they got hurried up with the V4 engine and they didn't have aero homologated. But like, they were doing development test after development test after development test. Where Ducati, they just fucking throw... they, as Jack Miller says, they just throw parts on and just see if it works.
Yeah, stick. Yeah, throw shit at the wall and hope it sticks.
Yeah.
But if you keep throwing enough of it, it sticks.
Yeah, simple as that. That's right. So that's the thing. That's the main first point for us, is you have to have some European influence in these teams now, which they are doing.
It's amazing that in this era of aero and these high-tech gadgets that are on these bikes, that you think the Euros would have mastered them. But just the technical mind they must have.
Yeah.
I mean, Japan we know is a technical powerhouse, but the conservativeness of the culture really does affect moving forward in a MotoGP team.
100 million%. It is very, very true.
They make very reliable parts that last a long time, but in motor racing and the modern day MotoGP, it's just quick. Try everything, spend.
Yeah.
And do anything. Like, look at Aprilia. They're a tiny team, you know?
Oh, I know.
And they're doing amazing things. So, yeah, European headquarters has to be done now.
Whereabouts, in Italy or Spain?
Is Turkey a European country?
I think it's on the spectrum of either.
I think it is on halfway, yeah. Yeah, somewhere in...
maybe Italy, maybe next to Ducati.
Yeah, just buy the land next to Ducati, build there, buy Mugello. We'll get onto that later. But yeah, these are the things they're going to have to do, try to win a championship.
All right, Tom, what's number two?
Number two is bring the old goat in. Valentino Rossi can come in.
Yep.
The Yamaha camp, which is already affiliated with.
Yeah, already an ambassador.
We'll run the team, okay? And it'll be named VR46 Yamaha Factory Racing. A little bit of fluoro yellow on the bike, but a full factory spec'd Yamaha. What are we thoughts on that?
Nah, I like it. Or at least run the Yamaha project and have this the VR46 feeder team there as well.
Yep, that's fine. I'm happy with that.
You know, you need either of that. You got to bring the old dog in. He knows how to win. He's Mr. Yamaha. I don't know why Yamaha have got the Yamaha ambassador, Valentino Rossi, the greatest of all time, to do it. Have his own team riding Ducatis.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is. It would be a match made in heaven, as we know. Bring Yamaha back to the glory days of when he was racing as well. So that's it's a great point.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not a good look for the brands, and it's like, I don't know, how can I draw parallels to this? It's like Messi, who's a famous Barcelona player, has a son and he plays for Real Madrid. It just doesn't happen.
No. And why doesn't Yamaha bring out more like sports bikes that are VR46 orientated?
I know, bro. 100%.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's like such a market that, you know, you bring out an R. Do they still make an R1?
Yeah.
Make an R1 Rossi edition.
Yeah.
Fluoro fenders. I just don't understand why they can't do that.
They bought out like a one in 446 in the world or something, and just it was an exorbitant amount of money, but they should just make one where you can throw it on a showroom.
$55,990 drive away.
Like, mate, $32,000.
Yeah.
The fucking coloured paint
yeah.
on the fairings. Like, what are we doing? They've done it. They don't do it often enough. Remember, there's still a couple Fiat Yamaha R1s, like the old one, floating around. I don't know if they've done a newer one, maybe once, but...
it's like taking candy from a baby, I reckon.
Bro, like, just as if they're not using all that leverage. Mm. There's so many Rossi Nuffies out there that will buy all that stuff. And, like, going back to it, he should be... If he's in the Grand Prix paddock, he should be involved with Yamaha if he's a Yamaha ambassador. Like, this is the most simple point out of all of them.
Yeah, and it's a marketer's dream as well.
Yeah.
Money-making dream.
Yeah.
Which goes hand in hand with everything, because it is a business at the end of the day.
It's a business, and obviously they're not good enough and he's chosen Ducati.
All right, number three, James.
No more half-ass, create it. And take it straight to the races. We don't want none of this assurance testing.
Yeah.
So going back to the 3D printer that Ducati has, they need to take the model of the Euros and just build it and test it. Like, there's no point of doing all this like longevity testing. Like, there is to a degree, but we're not going to get too technical in all this. Yep. But it's just a bit of fun. But it's all about just getting it out there. Like, this is what modern MotoGP is now. It's just testing it and sending it out. Aprilia on a test this year, this weekend, and Sepang's got this crazy side rear aero. Like, it's just way out there. Honda's doing the same thing. This is what, like, Yamaha's been using the same winglets for fucking how long? They've only just started using some different aero. Like, they're 3 years behind on aero.
We've heard this over the years numerous times. Like, Ducati might test an item, put it on the bike, let it see how it goes and run it. Where Japan will have it made in the factory and then 100 hours of testing on the part to see if it breaks or not.
Yeah.
Then it's got to go on the bike. Then there's another 100 hours of testing where it's halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Just put it on race one, in practice one. See if it works.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, take it off.
Yeah. Give it to the test rider. Like, straight to the test rider who needs to be a fast test rider, and just... You're in concessions D. I think you can do just about as many tests as you want.
Yeah.
Just load up a brand new bike with brand new parts.
And they're the only team in concession D this year as well.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
So it's a massive advantage. And they have no excuses for 27.
No.
And this is the dream they would have sold to your AMR team.
He's going to launch himself into the air. You can't. There's not enough power in that bike to launch himself like that.
Well, it's interesting what they're talking about, the 27 bikes. They are going to be much harder to ride. There's a lot of these, you know, obviously ride height devices have been deleted, and they're going to be a harder bike to ride, which is exciting for us.
I'm going to go on a bit of a branch, but who does that suit?
Quartararo for me.
Yeah.
Quartararo for me. Marquez.
Yeah.
Probably even more.
Well, Marquez is probably the last rider on that grid where he started in 2013, which is kind of just in that technological boom of, you know, traction control and a seamless gearbox and everything like that, where, you know, the riders that came in 2017, 18, 19 is such a different motorcycle, where to a degree 2013 and before 2014 before was a little bit more analog.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Some of those riders, you know, wouldn't even know how to fucking shift a gear with a clutch. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So I'm sure they were doing their dirt bikes, but full MotoGP spec bike would be pretty impressive. I think there's two. Just going back to your point, there's two sets of riders in that in the paddock at the moment. You've got the riders who need everything perfect to go fast, and then your riders who can ride around problems and then fast. And they're the greats.
Yeah,
and we know who they are.
Yeah, and they're probably the ones that I think are going to be challenging for that title in 27. If it's going to be such much more difficult motorcycle and slower motorcycle, by the sounds of it. But
who cares? Who cares if they're slower? It doesn't worry me at all.
I know. We talk about this all the time. Yeah. Moto 3 is so much slower and it's the best racing in the world.
Doesn't worry me at all.
And they use a clutch in Moto 3.
Mm.
Number four, Tom.
I think this is a great one, James. So Danny Pedrosa to look after all testing.
Yep.
With obviously input from Valentino Rossi as well.
I think both test riders for sure.
Yeah, I think Danny Pedrosa for me. He's turned that KTM team around.
Yeah,
And his input, they said over the years, has been amazing. So, it's something that's it's definitely test riders. I don't know, bro, but even 5 or 6 years ago, we knew about like two, and now they're like fully fledged factory riders. You know, they're getting paid good money, and they can have a big influence on the team.
Have a massive influence on the team. You look at Michele Pirro. That guy is the first big test rider.
Yeah.
He's never really raced Grand Prix motorcycles.
Like a household name for a MotoGP.
Bro, I know, for a fan. Yeah. Like, you know, you always know of Michele Pirro. He always used to
practice one
Mugello and top it because he's done so many laps around there. If you're an OG MotoGP fan, you know that. You go out and watch practice on Mugello.
How was Danny Pedrosa Jerez last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy finishes fourth and it was fastest in, I think, the first two practices.
Yep.
Qualifies into Q1.
Yep.
Dude, amazing.
I know, and that's with these test riders. That's what you need. Like, you need someone.
Q2, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right. You need someone who can be as fast as going into Q2.
Yeah, amazing.
Because that's the only way to test these bikes. You have to ride them at that limit. Yep. You can't be 4 seconds slower. And like Yamaha, they had Lorenzo for a bit, which they should have kept after his Honda career. I don't know why they got rid of Jorge Lorenzo. He's a multiple-time world champion. Knows how to ride a bike. You know, I don't know if they're not listening to his input or whatever. Like, they had Cal Crutchlow for too long. But again, he could still ride a bike. Like, who's their riders now? Augusto Fernandez is their test rider, which, yeah. Okay. Yeah, like,
we don't know maybe. Enough. We don't know enough about his talent with testing, but obviously, call it a failed MotoGP career.
Mm.
And Dovizioso, who's
old.
Done.
Yeah, like, I think, like there's a lot of knowledge there.
Yeah.
And like,
I don't think Dobby's riding anymore, but
yeah,
he's definitely, I think he's more of a team manager to a certain extent now. But
where they need someone like a Danny Pedrosa who's on the ball. Yeah. And plus that, like, Augusto Fernandez might be doing a great job, but there might not be money backing it either.
Mm.
Where Honda, you can see there's a fucking checkbook.
Yeah.
Where, so that's the thing that, you know, links all this together is you just need money, obviously. And like, Augusto Fernandez can only test what he can test. But you need someone like a Danny Pedrosa. I don't know why they got rid of Cheeseburger. And obviously Valentino. Get Valentino out there.
Oh, Cheeseburger probably demanded a bit too much of the contract, I think.
Yeah.
Add a couple of other zeros if you want to keep me. That's what he would have said.
Otherwise, he goes back to Abu Dhabi or Dubai, wherever he keeps fucking promoting on Instagram.
He's an OG.
Speaking of Cheeseburger, number five. Cheeseburger to run the factory team. We need some pizzazz.
Yeah, okay. Well, dude.
Bro, look at Maverick Vinales.
Well, hang on. We've got to wait till he gets a result.
Mav's number one. He's on my number one for winning the championship. Cheeseburger, we need some pizzazz. He's already given KDM and Mav so much pizzazz. That's the word I'm going to use. He's all over socials. He's got his turtleneck out. He's got the clipboard.
He's got his own photographer.
He's doing training montages. He's got Rocky out there. We need this in Factory Yamaha. The Factory Yamaha need like a big fat gold chain fucking...
Yeah. He's a walking, talking meme, that boy.
He's
a
walking, talking meme. And that's what Yamaha need. Can't be so like conservative in your shell. Like, you got to have Big Dog Cheeseburger out there telling them what to do. Like, you know... Getting the Instagram reels out, showing everyone how it's done. I want him in pit lane, pep talking all the riders. That's what we need. That should be point number one, I think, is Cheeseburger.
I'm in shock right now.
Yeah, clearly. Fucking hell.
I'm in absolute shock. I can't breathe. That's why I had to yawn, James. I can't breathe. My body went into bloody reflex mode.
Good. But that's what I want. Send this to Cheeseburger because we need him at Yamaha. He is the man that puts this all together. We just need some energy. There's no energy in the team.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Point number six. We touched on this earlier, but they need to buy a fully fledged MotoGP circuit.
Or at least build one.
They need something that they can test on, market as their own.
Yeah.
And have their, you know, build it around your bloody... the head office.
Bro, 100%.
Build around the head office.
That'd be cool.
Put a big Yamaha fucking building in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. That would be sick, actually.
That would be cool. Build the brand around it. People want to go for Yamaha. People want, you know, fans will love Yamaha. Build a brand from there. A bigger brand than we currently have in MotoGP.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. Honda's got Montegi. Do they own Suzuka? Honda
does, yes.
Yeah, they do. So they own two tracks in Japan.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so they need a fully fledged test track. KTM's got Austria. So that's... buying Mugello is like the ultimate baller move.
I wonder if all tracks in the world, not including street circuits, are privately owned.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know Silverstone has a governing body, but I wonder if it's government owned. It'd be interesting. That'd be a good question for the viewers out there to drop in the comments.
I guess if the government owned it, they would probably fuck it up somehow anyway.
But I just know the interesting is like with street circuits, obviously the government run that and spend their money to get it organized. But obviously, as we touched on with Philip Island last week, they have to deal with an owner and rent the circuit off an owner. So interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I'm sure in Russia, it's owned by the government.
Yeah, same in with China. Shanghai. Yeah, I'm sure that's owned by the government.
Communism.
Yeah, exactly right. But I like that. I like the idea of either building one around their factory in Europe or buying Mugello, which would be fucking sick.
Now, James, Yamaha have a very broad spectrum of products and automobiles and... all sorts of stuff in the world. What would be your point number seven?
Stop making musical instruments. We don't need the recorder. Fuck the piano off. Put all the R&D into a V4 engine,
so
please.
So close the instruments all together. Close them off.
Yeah.
What happens if the profit of the instruments are funding the MotoGP team?
I don't know anyone that plays instruments. And I know like three people, so...
Nah. So everyone who's in the Yamaha Musical Instruments Company just go straight to work for the MotoGP team. Simple as that. Into Europe.
Yeah.
Actually, fire them and then hire the Europeans from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Use the money. Good point. Okay.
We don't need Jeff from Instruments R Us in Eltham to be helping out.
Okay. No. That's it. Okay.
I definitely think so. I think we need to put all your resources into motorcycles and motorcycle racing. And the funny thing is, obviously, this is all tongue-in-cheek, so don't come after us. But Yamaha in the street bike and like the road bike scene and dirt bikes, they fucking kill it.
They do.
They've got like the MT range. Yep. They've got like the R9 has come out. They've obviously got the R1. They've got all like the WR and YZs are fucking killing it. I think they're both reigning champions in the AMA Supercross. Like, so they're there and all that. Like, it's just the Grand Prix prototype stuff is what they struggle with.
Yeah.
And like the Yamaha's been selling, I used to sell Yamaha's a fuck ton of motorcycles and they still are. Like, they're still just, they dominate a lot of that. Yamaha as well. Like, if you go to most expos around the world, definitely in Australia, but we've been to a few other ones in like Sepang and Thailand. Yamaha normally have the biggest stand.
Mm.
So like they've got money there to do all that. It's just they just don't put it into the actually developing a motorcycle that's fast. And this is a problem. Yamaha's been through this as well, Tom. They had Wayne Rainey, who won three titles before he had his... career-ending incident. Nothing, absolutely nothing until Valentino Rossi turned that project around and, you know, really put that European mind into it though. Like, they brought Aussies into that team. What flipped that team was Valentino Rossi and his team, which was all Australians and Kiwis that worked with, like, Mick Doohan, obviously, and Gardner, that changed the culture of that and, you know, gave them 12 years of success. Before Valentino Rossi came along, there was Max Biaggi that was kind of up and down, but he didn't win a title. I think Olivier Jacques and Alex Barros was racing for them, not doing much. Kind of, I think it was around those riders.
No,
but
you're right.
Like, they weren't doing anything. Like, they didn't win a race. I don't think they won a race in 2003 before Rossi came on. I think it was every single race was almost run by a Honda, I believe. Maybe they won one. I'm not too sure. But so they've been in this problem before.
Mm.
They've had this issue before, you know. But unfortunately for Yamaha is one rider can't just turn it around now. It's not like Valentino Rossi can come on and just turn it around.
Not a Jorge Martin.
It's just the sport's not like that anymore. They already had Quartararo, one of the best riders on the grid. It's just the sport's just evolved. It's from 2004 to 2026, the bike's... so beyond different. You can't fathom it.
No, you can't. You can't just turn it around. I mean, new regulations is going to be a big difference.
That will help them. That's their lifeline.
That's their life. Yeah, it is. If we were having no rules, regs change next year, we'd be going, this is going to be a 3 or 4 year exercise minimum.
Oh, there'd be one point in the plan saying we're fucked.
Yeah. Close up shop for 4 years and just develop the bike in Europe.
The second point will be to sell musical instruments.
Continue selling the YZ250s. Oh, that's funny.
Number 8 t-shirt.
Yeah, number 8. This is interesting. They still do. They have a little bit of this already, but Moto3, Moto2 feeder teams.
Yep.
Obviously, to get the best talent as well coming through.
Yep.
I mean, it's worked so well for KTM over the years. I mean, if they didn't have their feeder teams, they wouldn't have Pedro Acosta riding for them. So, yeah, it's 100% a really big point. Pramac, Yamaha have a team in Moto2.
Yep.
So, yes, it's definitely something that is very important in the modern day MotoGP. Because you get these kids locked into these contracts as well. You know, you might put them on a 5-year contract, for example. Start them in Moto3. Their mum and dad have mortgaged 6 houses so they can get him there, and then they're presenting them with a check with a 5-year contract. They might go 5 years in Moto3, or they'd be, you know,
into MotoGP.
Yeah. And that's what's happening with these young kids.
Yeah, Pedro Acosta's one of the you know, best talents on the grid. Brad Binder's been, you know, fucked around, I think, by KTM. But he was an amazing talent going into MotoGP.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've locked in these amazing talents and world champions to ride for their factory teams. Now, there is a rumor going around that Yamaha will supply Moto3 bikes in the next, couple of years. I think they want to go to like one bike, one engine, one spec to
reduce
costs. Which I'm
a massive fan of.
I don't know if I'm a massive fan of it, but it's... I just don't like
if you're a young talent, but you're on a, you know, a lesser motorcycle in that category. It should all be the same.
Mm.
You know, it shouldn't be having to be, oh, the fucking Leopard Honda's always the fastest down the straight.
Like, I know, and the Hondas are nowhere.
Yes, it's exciting. I understand that. It is exciting. But for me, as a young kid, you just, it'd be so frustrating.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, it always just seems like there's always just teams that just, I guess they'll have better engineers.
Yeah, it's a personnel.
Yeah, yeah. You're paying for the personnel on those teams. So, like, there'll still be that gap. But, Matt, I guess you're right.
But if you're on a Honda, you know you have no chance, you know?
Well, to a degree.
At least if you're all on the Yamahas, but you've got shit engineers, you say, oh, they might just get it right this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's definitely the personnel. I mean, it happens in F3 and F2, where these cars are supposed to be very similar.
Mm.
And there's just, there's wide varieties of times.
Well, we've spoken to a few riders.
F2.
No, that's fair. We've spoken to a few riders in Moto3 and, you know, they talk about the personnel in these teams. And if it's not the right environment or the right people, or it's like a new engineer or something that's coming in, like it's so much harder than being someone who's experienced.
Yeah.
Whoever. So it is an interesting point. And then having Yamaha, I guess, have their own teams from Moto3, Moto2, MotoGP, going back to that point, is a great way of capturing talent. Like, and I think I said this fucking 2 years on the podcast, this is what every team should be doing. Like, it doesn't mean just say Ducati needs to have a fucking Moto3 bike in there, but they can have like a, Yamaha used to have like a VR46 Yamaha Master Camp team on a Suda, whatever it is. You know, they should be able to do like, they sponsor a team or whatever and get their talent that comes through like that. Because I think that's the future. I really do.
It's interesting. I bet.
I don't like it, to be honest, but I think
I'm guessing Ducati are thinking to themselves, we're almost like the class leading team now. Do we really need to invest all this money on a Moto2 team when if we want a rider, we'll just go out and get the rider?
Can you just, like, when you're talking investing, can you just do a Lotus and just sponsor the team?
Well, I guess I 100% you could. I'm sure there is ways around that.
You don't have to, like, you just use a Suda chassis. It's a controlled engine in Moto2. Yeah.
But is that really achieving anything, though?
Well, I guess you can just say you've got a Moto3 and a Moto2. Like, you're locking those guys in. Like, you're getting the best of the best.
Yeah.
Same with Yamaha, whatever. Yeah. But I think that's the future of Grand Prix racing. Personally, that's where I think it's going to go. And that's what Yamaha need to do. They need to do something along those lines for sure.
Mm.
Number 9, T Shavs.
Well, we've just touched on this. Bring in some youth.
Yep.
I think they have to make a play for David Alonso, Holgado, these guys that are coming through. We know they're going to be MotoGP bound. So this is where you have to do maybe an elder gear and just sign them early.
Yeah, great call.
So just something to just spark interest into that back end of that team. And dude, David Alonso for me is going to be the hot ticket going through this year as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if he performs well in the first, call it 5-6 races, he's signed.
Now, you got to pay him big money. You got to be doing a Honda. You can't be sending out scraps.
Mm.
It takes two to tango to sign. So you have to really entice David Alonso to sign for Yamaha, because Manu Gonzalez turned down Yamaha.
Yeah, I know.
He would end up getting second in the world championship. So like, you're either going to be shown results somehow, or you're going to be thrown a pay. You know what you have to do? You just have to pay overs.
You do. You do 100%. And like, these guys, it could be a once a decade talent.
Mm.
Like, so I think you just have to go with him, sign him for a long term deal, 5-6 year deal or something crazy like that.
Oh, huge. That's just putting the balls on the line, isn't it?
Well, you have to do it.
That's a scary prospect if you're like a David Alonso.
Yes.
And you're 2.5 years in, the bike's fucked.
Yeah, I know.
Cheeseburger's not there anymore.
But James, the problem with these fucking contracts, bro, you just fucking walk away. You just walk away. It's so fucking crazy.
You could literally just take your leathers off, walk into the pit next side you, put a Honda leathers on, start riding, and your team principal's gone, well, I guess it's just what's happening. We just stopped paying him now.
Did Marquez walk away from a contract with Honda?
Yes. But like,
that's fair.
That's fair because to a degree, but Honda still let him go. They had such a good relationship. They looked after him, and they came to an agreement. There was no bad. There was no bad words in the press whatsoever.
I mean, the only one to go against what we're saying is Martin last year tried that and it was blocked.
Yeah.
So maybe they've come to their senses to a certain extent. Dorner, I'm talking about, and because obviously they, it sounds like they blocked that deal.
Yeah, it does.
And then Honda have gone and got Quartararo, and he's gonna go to Yamaha.
Quartararo,
that's Carver best served ice cold. Yeah.
Honda are sharks, man. But it's Marquez has earned the right with Honda because he won 5 world titles,
of course,
or whatever.
Yeah, dude, they got to lay out the red carpet.
Well, hey, Martin didn't even fucking start a race. Like, no. So it's just so different.
Yeah, not even a podium. He finished 4th. That was it, wasn't he?
You know, so like, it's just... What are we talking about?
Well, we're going to move on to...
Bring in some youth. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're going to go into the last... The last point, James, take it away.
Scrap 2026, all chips going to 2027. Quartararo's gone, so who cares? Ideal rider lineup. and we'll give our ideal rider lineup is what I mean.
Yes, I totally agree. 2026 is finished. Top Rack's learning year. How's Can on Chew commented on our thing saying that Top Rack will win a race this year?
Bro, that's putting such unnecessary pressure on someone.
Yeah. Yes, he's gone. Can's just gone fucking boom. Can's gone boom.
Can.
On the biggest MotoGP podcast in Australia, he's just thrown a fucking bomb our way.
Yeah.
Will he look like an absolute amazing legend, or will it just be blow up in his face?
Oh, he's gonna have ash on his face. He's gonna be ashy.
I just don't understand how Yamaha can even thought about winning a race this year when the V4 has done absolutely nothing in the end of last year, and we've pretty much got the same bike. I just don't. They're not gonna be in the top 10, guys. I just don't understand this.
If Quartararo is not making this bike work. Unfortunately, Top Rack is not making this bike work for 2026. It's just how it is. Now, we put out a reel about how everyone's talking Top Rack is going to fucking win races or whatever, and all the Turkish people came after us, which was really funny. I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I just don't see it. Like, this is where MotoGP is at. Yes, Top Rack's an amazing rider. I would love to see him win races and fight Marquez for a title. Love to see it happen. But it's just, that's not what... If we're going to talk reality and facts, and that's just not what MotoGP is right now.
Correct, yep, I agree.
2027, different ball game. But if you're talking 2026 right now, it's not happening. But I would love to see it. And it'd be fucking incredible if he does do it.
Well, this is the thing. You've got 6 Ducatis on the grid, all capable of finishing a top 5.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 4 Aprilias. Raul Fernandez and Aguirre, they're going to be dark horses for some wins this year on that Aprilia. You're going to have... You know, 3 Hondas, arguably, maybe 4 Hondas up there as well. We'll see how Marrera goes. Sure. KTM looking good. Like
Cheeseburger with Vinales.
How are you fit a Yamaha in the podium this year is beyond me.
Beyond me. And this is the problem. There's so much talent, and we call it the Moto2 down syndrome. The Moto2 syndrome. Is there so much talent, but someone has to finish 12th, 13th, yes. 14th, 15th.
Yes,
correct. It's just how it is. Yeah. Like, yeah. No matter how fast you are, like, there could be just someone faster than you on that day. And I think that's what we're really going to see this year and next year. And like, unfortunately for Yamaha, I just don't think I can see them improving that much. Like, it's just not happening.
Unless they follow our 10-point plan. And what would that be your ideal... Write a lineup for that 10-point plan then, James.
Realistically, okay. So, Jorge Martin. Let's go... Pecco Bagnaia. Top Rack. And I'm going to go... Danny Holgado.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what I'm gonna go.
I agree. Totally agree. I mean, I'd probably go for...
Would you change Pecco?
No. I like Pecco. I do really like Pecco. Going to Yamaha. I don't know. For me, would you pick Holgado over Alonso?
I'm just trying to be realistic. I just don't think Alonso signing for Yamaha.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, I think you're on the money. I would totally agree.
Factory backed. All four got to be fully factory backed like Honda. You can't be fucking withholding parts.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it's the team to do it. Primark's the team to just go all in with.
Like, yeah, or VR46.
Yeah. Someone, you need to go all in. You need to just, like, it's like Lucio and Honda. Like, yeah. They're all in.
Yeah.
They're all in together on it. There's no split. It's same as KTM.
Yeah.
That's how it's got to be going forward.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, that's, and I think that's a good mix. You've got Jorge Martin is someone who's in his prime. You've got Pecco Bagnaia who's done it. You've got Toprak who's an amazing talent. Who's like the wild card, and then you've got the young gun and Holgado or someone coming in.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I love it.
That's a 10-point plan, bro. And then that's what's gonna bring Yamaha back to the promised land. This is Project Yamaha. Yes, we can.
All right, let's have a listen to these hot takes, James.
We sent out a message on Sunday night or whenever it was, asking for some funny and some serious answers on what you, the fans, would do to fix Yamaha. Bro, when I say we've never had this many hot takes come through, it was in the thousands.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of people have opinion on this.
Bro.
A lot of people have opinion.
Couldn't believe it.
Yep.
My phone was absolutely blowing up. Actually, I literally have to turn all the notifications off. Thank you for everyone that replied.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
We tried to just like read through most of them and all of them. There's just so many, but we try to just pick out the best ones, I guess.
Yeah, the best ones. Not saying the other ones are good either, but there's some outstanding ones you're about to read out.
Yeah, they're all actually quite funny and there's some crazies in there.
And we do read all crazy them as well.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
We do all
there's just it. Fucking thousands.
And we do enjoy every single one of them.
Yeah. We're blown away. It's amazing.
Mm.
OG pod fan at Jack Giles. First one, he says, is hire Aleix Espargaró.
Yeah, well, he's still going strong, isn't he?
He's fucking testing, could be testing master.
That's one. That's who Yamaha should hire.
He's just a bit of a snake in the grass. He'll be too close to Jorge Martin. You just can't have those two dogs next to each other.
Yeah, no, you got to keep them close together though. That's the issue. Because it's got his mind wandering. So you got to keep your enemies close, James.
Yeah, those two dogs. At Oz_125, I'll give Jorge Lorenzo my kidney to come back.
Wow.
See, they haven't heard this and they know Cheeseburger needs to be there.
Yeah.
He's the one that has to bring the pizzazz.
Well, he's back in the limelight.
Yep.
He's back in the center paddock.
Yep.
With a rider. I love it.
That's what we want to see.
He's got his foot in the door.
He's got his foot in the door. Give that man the keys to Yamaha. That's all I'm saying. At Key_Ahu, copy Honda.
Mm.
Yep. Throw money at this project. That's all Honda's doing. They're just throwing money. They've got two fucking test teams. At Kaya_VN, hire the Yakuza to take out the Ducati factory.
That's a good one.
Again, same fella. Scrap any plans for 2026. Focus on 27, 28. Bring in some kind of rider progression from Moto2, Moto3. See, these people understand what's going on. At PhilK5077, give it to Vin Diesel and tell him Fabio is family. He's La Familia. _Derek, do you get that?
Fast and Furious reference, yeah.
Yeah. _Derek Hall, make 20 more fucking horsepower. Jesus Christ, they get passed on every straight.
Yeah, it was concerning when we were at Malaysia last year and they were bottom of the speed trap when the V4 was supposed to be the fastest.
Bottom at the speed trap and then coming out of it, they couldn't get their ride height device working. It was straight out.
Yeah.
But at least we can't beat them down too much. At least they had it there, for fuck's sake.
Yep.
At least they had it there. At IH79211, bring Rossi on the management. We talked about that again.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't understand this one, but I wanted to bring this one up. At LJ_Alonso65. Take a black chicken and dance around the entire Yamaha paddock because money ain't work. I hope you understood that.
No. God. Is it some rap reference or something?
I don't know. But I just wanted your response on that. At Damo Rounds, bring in Chantra as number one and Cal Abraham as rider coach.
Oh my God. Two fucking duds. Two duds.
That's number
funny
one.
As Cal Abraham. Fuck, that is money, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he ran the team. Yeah. He owns Bruno.
Yeah.
At Sean Cody, get the cheeseburger back on the bike. I've been
damn,
saying that.
Damn, cheesy's getting back. I told back, bro. Baby.
Damn.
Love it.
Again, same. Sparks underscore Leon. Is the yen depreciation hurting Yamaha? Used to be 50% stronger, so you'd get 50% more development for your cash.
Fuck.
I knew you'd like that one.
Fuck, what a fucking insight that is.
Yeah.
Because yen's terrible at the moment.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez, that's a good one. I love that.
Mm.
I love that.
I knew you'd like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, I haven't even thought of that. But yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, it hasn't. But Honda's, you know, Honda's European now, pretty much. So
yeah, they're on the Euro.
All right. Also, add to the 10-point plan. Change head office of Yamaha to Monaco. No tax.
Oh, smart.
Yes.
But
yes.
You could buy land would be fucking expensive.
Yeah, Mister. No, but Mister Yamaha live in Monaco. No taxable income at all.
So. Do you reckon Mister Yamaha, like head Japanese of Yamaha, would want to live in Monaco because? I like sushi train stuff.
Well, I mean, there's some premium Japanese restaurants there, so I'm sure he'd be okay.
Mm. Oh, who wouldn't want to live there?
True. I don't think I'd want to live there.
Yeah?
No.
What's going on?
I want a bit of land about me. I want to kick a footy or somewhere. I wanted some grass, bro. There's not even grass in that country.
Nah, I'm with you. So you just have like a chateau on the water.
Yes, something. I need a bit of something. I need something to run around in. You know what I'm saying?
Sell your yacht in.
Dude, that would be like a terrible job being like a turf layer in Monaco. It could be like an old wife's tale or something.
Yeah.
As bored as a turf layer in Monaco.
It'd be a dollar a speck of grass, I reckon, over there.
Yes.
At definitely continue taking feedback from test riders and the factory and satellite guys. Deep data analysis. Go into the data.
Yeah, I mean, we did. We sort of touched on that with they needed some serious test riders. I mean, Augusto Fernandez. Again, we don't
jury's
know.
Jury's out.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me.
What were you going to say? Sorry, I cut you off.
No. I'm just saying, like, it's the guy was not that fast in MotoGP. So how can we expect him to be an awesome test rider? I'm just putting that out there.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm with you. At Carlos Gamero 24, open the checkbook, get GG to design the bikes, then get Danny and Pol to do the testing. I like that.
I wonder if there's any chance of getting any of those three out of Ducati.
Bro, Pol Espargaró is quick enough to be top 10 in a championship at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
He was quick at the end of last year.
Oh, amazing he was. Yeah.
And again, that's your test rider.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
He's probably their main test rider almost at the moment, how quick he is. And yeah, you need to pinch someone like GG. We didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I think Pol Espargaró at Portimao got into Q2 as well and had a great race. So, yeah.
I know, it's wild, huh?
It is wild.
at Rahil underscore Rafik underscore Karishi, retain Fabio at all costs.
What? Dan sounded like happening.
And then the polar opposite from Muhammad underscore Maruf 1. Let Quartararo go.
Wow, international listeners just having polar opposite.
That's what we're here for.
We love
for.
That.
And you know what's crazy? Saying that, our biggest listener base is out of the UK now. Wild.
Mm.
Absolutely wild.
Jack Appleyard help with that.
I guess there's a lot of Poms. Yeah. There's a lot more Poms than Aussies. At underscore george.wall, buy a few Ducatis and whack some Yamaha graphics over it. It is only the option. It's the only option at this point.
Are we sitting here in 2 years' time saying that about a Honda? Is Honda going to nail these new regulations? Who knows, James?
True. Mate, the blue Ducati works. I've already got a Cresini Ducati. It's half a Yamaha. At frosty.heat, sell more pianos to fund R&D for MotoGP.
Well, that was we did the ante of that in the 10-point plan.
So. I like it. He's a bit more glass half full. I like it. Reigning number one ticket holder, Willie Nels. Take European engineers as POWs.
Very good. Very good. Battle of Okinawa all over again.
At Chris underscore Seps, our Italian correspondent of the... of the podcast.
Yes.
Get Valentino back on the bike at least 25 explanation marks. Let's go. At least 10-0.
Vale. Yeah, I love it. Wouldn't expect anything less from him.
When we say Europeans, we don't want one-eyed Valentino Rossi Europeans, because that will just sink the whole thing as
It'd
well.
It'd be like Ducati Rossi era.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that. No, too yeah. many Italians.
That's 20 parts to a peg. We don't want that. We want neutral, maybe northern Italians. I think they're a bit more neutral.
Yannick Sinners.
Yeah, we need some Yannick Sinners. The southern Italians, too tanned. Artisanal.bogan_PR. Pod filter from Supercheap and flames in the paint scheme.
Pod filter.
That's it, mate. That's our 10-point plan. And thank you for everyone sending it in.
Yeah, appreciate all the love. We'll be back next week for a very special podcast.
Different.
A Zoom pod with a very famous YouTuber. So please stay tuned for that. Jump over to Patreon now. We're going to continue some extra chats about 2026.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. And we've got some questions from all our Patriots.
Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.